Turn to Proverbs 6:12. This is going to start a new section here for the next four verses. We'll just get into the first verse tonight. Proverbs 6 and verse 12. It says, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth." So let's look at the first part of that. Naughty person, a wicked man. Solomon here is switching topics from condemning laziness to condemning wickedness and frowardness there here in the next four verses. So a naughty person, when we're speaking of persons, means morally bad, wicked. Of children, it means wayward, disobedient, given to doing wrong. And this is another one of those words, and I know I've mentioned this before, that naughty isn't like the cute, "Oh, you're very naughty today. You've been disobedient and done wrong, and you're wayward." So it's interesting here that naughty means wicked. And as I'll mention here in just a second, we see right in this verse that the Bible has its own built-in dictionary. Because I will mention that first since I just mentioned it. Because it says a naughty person, a wicked man, right? So it is saying the same thing twice, right? It's talking about the same guy giving two different descriptions, a naughty person, a wicked man, and the definition of naughty was wicked, and the definition right in the very verse is wicked. Naughty means wicked. So this is just one of many examples of the Bible's built-in dictionary. That's one thing that the Hebrew scriptures are great for, especially in the Psalms, Proverbs, in the poetical books, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of Hebrew parallelisms used there where the same thing is stated again in slightly different wording. And when you have that, then you can find synonyms and you can find word definitions right there within the text. That's one of the main ways that the Bible is its own dictionary. Another way would be whenever you see verses in the New Testament that are quoting verses in the Old Testament. And then when you compare the two quotes, you'll see the wording is a little bit different. And then you can see the differences and you say, "Oh, well, this word was used in the New Testament. This word was used in the Old Testament. These are synonyms. They mean the same thing." Right? So you have a dictionary built in there. And then also the Bible will show us that a naughty person is a bad person, which was the other part of the definition in Jeremiah 24 and verse 2. I think what somebody should do, not me, because it would take forever, but what somebody should do is go through the whole Bible and define every word with the Bible and make a dictionary of definitions of every word in the Bible defined with the Bible. You probably couldn't do it with every word, but with every word that's possible. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think what else would be pretty cool is if you took all the Bible words and used the OED and looked up and found the correct definition based on context and everything for every single Bible word, and you had a dictionary of all the Bible words with the proper definition. But then they would just take all the hard work out of it, and everybody would be too lazy then. So, but anyway, Proverbs 24 and verse 2 says, "One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad." There you go. Naughty equals bad. And what did the definition say? Naughty means morally bad, wicked. So right there you have the Bible giving us those very definitions, wicked and bad. Wicked is bad in moral character, disposition, or conduct, inclined or addicted to willful wrongdoing, practicing or disposed to practice evil, morally depraved, a term of wide application but always of strong reprobation, implying a high degree of evil quality. So wicked equals bad or naughty, in other words. So Solomon goes on to warn us of the characteristics and the judgment of evil men in the coming verses. We'll get to those next week. So right now he's just telling us about a wicked person, a naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth, but then he'll give us examples of that and go into more detail here in the next verses. Let's look at the second half of that verse. a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. To walk means to journey, move about, especially on foot. It's to go from place to place, to journey, wander. It is to go about in public, live, move in a place or region. So he walketh with a froward mouth. So this could mean literally walking from place to place, or more likely, it means the way he lives, right? It's not just that he only starts spouting off nasty things out of his mouth when his feet are moving, right? He lives with a froward mouth, right? This is the way that he goes about his life, is always spewing forth vitriol. Froward is disposed to go counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable. Perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, means refractory, ungovernable. Also in a wider sense, bad, evilly disposed, naughty. It's the opposite of toward. So a person that is froward, he goes about life in a manner and communicates in a way that is contrary, unreasonable, perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, and ungovernable. In other words, he's basically just a bullheaded jerk. You ever met somebody like that? That is just a stubborn, opinionated, rebellious. He's just a jerk. There's no other way of putting it. If you say go right, he just goes left just for no other reason than you told him to go right and he goes left. He wouldn't have any other reason to do that other than he just wants to be a butthead. That's a froward person. And there are people out there like that. They never got their butts beat when they were children, I think. Because there are some children that they're like that. Their nature is like that. That you tell them to do one thing and they will just intentionally do the opposite just because they're hard-headed and they need that beat out of them. And if it doesn't, they're going to end up to be a real problem whenever they get older. Now, God hates a froward mouth. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." This is wisdom personified. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hates a froward mouth. So remember that the next time you want to mouth off to somebody that is a legitimate authority figure, remember, Jesus Christ hates that. And we should too. A wicked man with a froward mouth is the kind of man that we want to avoid at all costs. Look at Psalm 101 and verse 4. I can deal with a lot of people, but a guy with a froward mouth is probably on the lowest on my list of people that I want to deal with. He's the worst. Psalm 104 and verse 101 and verse 4. David said, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." So he wasn't having that. And he was the king, and he could pretty much say, you know, "Depart from me, get out of here." He didn't have to deal with people like that if he didn't want to.
It's a complete waste of time.
Yes, it really is. It's like that, like it says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Right? You can't reason or work with a guy like that. Somebody that's just bent on being a jerk, basically. This kind of man will do nothing but cause trouble. Proverbs 16, 28 through 30. And I think the problem is why people like this exist is because their parents didn't want to deal with them when they were younger, and then the teachers in school probably just didn't want to deal with them. Nobody wants to deal with them, and they just kind of just let it go. The boss doesn't want to deal with them, and he just continues on. Whereas if parents would have beat him, the principal would have beat him, the boss would have fired him the first time he mouthed off, he'd stop acting like that. But nobody wants to deal with him, and he just continues. Proverbs 16, 28 through 30. It says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass." Right? He walketh with a froward mouth. This guy, he devises things, and then he just starts belching out commands of evil things that he's going to do. He brings evil to pass by moving his lips. And a guy like this has a difficult life ahead of him. Proverbs 22 and verse 5. Because you can kind of usually kind of push your way through life until you meet somebody more bullheaded than yourself. And then all of a sudden, they're going to put an end to it. Proverbs 22:5 says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." So thorns and snares, right? As he walketh with a froward mouth, he's walking into thorns and snares. He's going to have a hard time. It's going to be a painful walk until he figures out to get rid of that froward tongue. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Proverbs 13:15. I've repeated the second half of this verse many times. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I've seen little kids, and I just see the temperament of certain kids. I remember one in the Minneapolis church, and I would say that every from time to time, the way of transgressors is hard. This kid is just going to have to learn the hard way. And some people are just like that. Just though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Some people, you can just beat them and grind them into powder, and they are just going to do their own stupid thing. They're not going to change. Their way is going to be hard. And working for a man like this would be miserable. I'd be looking for another job if I was working for a guy like this. 1 Peter 2:18 through 19. But here's the thing. While you work for a guy like this, you know what you do? You be the best employee you can. You be respectful, and you do what he tells you to do, and you take the abuse. Why? Because you're a Christian, and that's what you're supposed to do. 1 Peter 2:18 through 19. But that doesn't mean that you can't be putting out other resumes while you're taking the abuse. God never told you to stay there forever. 1 Peter 2:18 through 19. It says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." And he kind of there defines for you what a froward man is. A man that would cause you to endure grief wrongfully. That's what a froward guy will do. Employing a man like this is foolish and dangerous. That'd be a good way to go out of business, would be to have a guy like this working for you, especially if he happens to be customer-facing. Right? The last thing you'd want to do is hire a guy like that for customer service with a froward mouth. And wisdom from the Word of God will deliver us from such a wretch as that. Proverbs 2, 10 through 15. Just cover a little ground that we covered a while back. Proverbs 2, 10 through 15. So if you read the Word of God, if you start to understand human nature, and you can easily pick up on cues that people give off, you will very quickly and easily identify the froward man, and you will know how to stay away from him. And this is what the Word of God will do for you. Proverbs 2, 10 through 15 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." So there was, the word froward was used at least, I think, three times there. And how do you get delivered from that? Wisdom entering into thine heart. And how do you get wisdom? Verse 6. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So you spend time in the Bible, and you will avoid wicked and froward people like that. And maybe you won't take the job for the 2 Peter 2 guy, the froward boss who's going to make your life miserable. So that's why it's important to read the Scripture, in addition to all the other reasons for doing so. So that takes care of Proverbs 6:12. Next week, we'll pick up with verse 13.